Some time back, Mrs. Holloway asked me a question. I don't remember what we were talking about, but she asked me why the tribe of Dan was not listed in Revelation. I said, I'm not going to answer now. I'm working on a message along that regard. I'll bring it to you later. And I gave it in Buffalo as a sermon, and then I got down here, and I haven't had a chance to do a sermon, so I split it, and I did half of it, the first split sermon I had. And some of you were not here then, but I'm going to complete the two-part message that I started some time back. I'm going to give you a quick overview for those of you who weren't here of the first part. The title was Dan in History and Prophecy. I did the history part. We're going to do the prophecy part today. But I'm going to give a quick review of what I covered in the history part, because it's a lot of things are pretty interesting, and you read right over and you don't recognize them. A lot of this material that I got from a research writer that worked in Pasadena in the 70s, worked up on the fourth floor of headquarters building out there. And he was a good researcher. He had a way of putting things together. We all know the story that Jacob worked for 7 years for his wife that he thought was going to be Rachel. When he woke up in the morning, he had Leah. And he got a song and dance from his father-in-law, Laban, that we just don't do that. You have to marry off the older daughter first, which he did. And he gave each of the two wives, he worked another 7 years for Leah, or for Rachel, the one he loved, he got Leah. And the father-in-law had given each of the girls a servant. Jacob had 12 sons by these two wives and these two servants of the wives. This, the time order. Leah, who was plain or sad-eyed, the wife he really didn't want, she was the only one early on that was able to bear children. She had four children in succession: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Rachel was becoming very nervous because she was the most loved one, and she figured a lot of societies you have to be able to bear children for your husband. And so she thought the only way we're going to get this done is she gave her handmaid Bilhah to Jacob. And she bore two sons to Jacob. Next in order, Dan and Naphtali. Leah wasn't able to bear more children at that time for whatever reason, so she gave her handmaid Zilpah to Joseph, or to Jacob rather, and she bore Gad and Asher. There were four family members right there, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, who had the same father as the first four, but a different mother. Two different mothers, in fact. Dan and Naphtali had one mother, Gad and Asher had the other. So Dan was the child that was the firstborn child out of wedlock. Obviously, the significance was that he was the first one born out of wedlock and probably indicated a lower birth status. The other four looked down on him. His mother was not married to their father. So on. Next, Leah was able to bear again, and she bore Issachar, Zebulun, and later Dinah. So there were seven children from Leah. Some time back, I gave a sermon on that, how the seven children line up with the 7,000-year plan of God. It's pretty interesting. And finally, Rachel, the one that Jacob really loved, began to have children. She had Joseph, and he was really, really special because he was the firstborn child of the woman that he had loved all these years. And then she bore again sometime later, Benjamin, and she died in childbirth. The subset of four of Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher were all born consecutively and seemed to be, grew up as like a subset. Dan, obviously, the leader, and they grew up together, hung out together, so forth. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 37. We'll start there this morning. I don't have as many scriptures as Andy did, for which I'm thankful. I never would get through. Genesis 37, and we'll look at the first couple of verses. Genesis 37, verses 1 through 3. Now Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. The scripture doesn't say what was going on that was wrong, but there was something going on that was wrong. Joseph was the only one who is named in this group. It says he was with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah. So you don't automatically, reading through that, think this was Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And Joseph was a favorite son. He got the colored coat. He got the dreams that probably didn't thrill any of the brothers. And they were jealous. But he tattled on Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. So they had extra against Joseph. He was a tattletale. His father thought he was very special. But in the eyes, especially of Dan as the leader of this group, he was a tattletale. He didn't like him. Many places, Dan is listed in a very negative position. Probably Dan was the instigator. There's no real proof for it, but probably he was the instigator of the, later on in 37, it talks about they saw the dreamer coming. He went to get him, and he had his coat on, and they had moved, and he talked to somebody. Where'd my brother go? They're over here. And they saw him coming quite a ways off. And they said, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him in the pit and put blood on his coat, and nobody will ever know the difference. And I think it was Reuben that said, no, let's not kill him. They put him in the pit, but let's just save him. And Reuben was hoping to get him out of there and do something else. And they sat there eating with him in the pit. And along came a bunch of Ishmaelites, Edomites, and they were also descendants of Father Abraham, but through Hagar. And they were traitors. They came through, and Judah said, hey, let's dig him out and we'll sell him to these people and they can take him off wherever they're going to go and we'll be rid of him. We don't have a problem. We'll bloody up the coat and take it back to Dad and say, we don't know what happened to this guy. But from that point on, there are many places that Dan is listed in the scripture, tribe of Dan. He's listed either last or next to last. In Genesis 46, verses 25 is one of the places. Bilhah The sons of Bilhah were listed very last, all the sons of Jacob, after the sons of Zilpah. So he was born fifth, but his mother's two sons were listed 11th and 12th. In Numbers 26, the second census that was taken in Israel, Dan was listed at the very bottom. When they divided the land, Dan was one of the larger tribes, and they give the numbers. But he got a very small portion of land. And as scripture says, the land was not big enough for the tribe of Dan. So they ended up, long term, they started taking more land. In 1 Chronicles chapters 2 through 9 is the family records. And it lists all of the children of Jacob and their sons and grandsons and right on down through. Daniel is totally left out, except for 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 2. It lists the 12 tribes. Dan's name is there. It's the only mention in that whole section of scripture about Dan. Obviously, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and God is demoting Daniel as, or Dan as well as the rest. It seems to be that way. When the Levitical cities were instituted, the cities of the Levites that were in each of the tribal territories, Dan was again left out. He got no Levitical city as a tribe. The most glaring omission, it was the question that Lori had asked me about the 144,000. Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8. And it says, there were 144,000 sealed of all the tribes of Israel. List 12 tribes, no Dan. Dan is not listed. Ephraim and Manasseh make up the 12 tribes, with Dan being gone. 13, actually, I guess. And this is a critical omission, if it's an omission or a change, because it's futuristic. It's talking about now or very soon down the road. Let's look now at Dan and prophecy. That was kind of a quick summary of what I spoke on in the history section. I'm going to put my glasses on because my ink is fading. The prophecy section begins in Genesis chapter 49. Jacob, at the end of his life, is gathering all the sons together and addresses all of his children. A lot of people say this is the blessing of the children. So let's look, beginning verse 1, Genesis chapter 49. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days, or the latter days. King James has last days. Verse 2, gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, hearken unto Israel your father. Verse 3 and 4 talks about the firstborn Reuben. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Verse 4, unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, and then defiled you it. He went up to my couch. He's hardly giving blessings here to his children. Really, it's a prophetic statement about the latter days. If you think about it, here is Jacob. He's looking at his sons for the last time in his life. It must have been quite painful for him to have such understanding of their end time futures. Plain words, he spoke about Reuben. We're not going to cover all of them because we're focusing on Dan. So let's drop down to verse 16 and 17. Dan shall judge his people, verse 16, as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that bites the horse's heels so that his rider falls backward. Here Dan is described as a serpent. No other tribe in this section of Scripture received the condemnation that Dan did. Some had their weaknesses pointed out. Some were predicted to have dire consequences befall them. But only Dan was singled out for his inherent evil. In the biblical symbolism, the serpent has been identified with Satan since the Garden of Eden. And from Genesis all the way to Revelation, when you talk about Satan or the great dragon or the serpent, we all understand it means basically the same thing. This prophecy seems to pertain to Dan's attitude and actions toward his own family. An adder in the Hebrew, and I'll spell it because I'm like Andy, I can't pronounce that word. It's S-H-P-H-E-Y-P-H-O-N. And it's from Shuwph, S-H-U-W-P-H. And it means to gape, to snap at. And I do that too often at my wife. I got to quit that. To overwhelm. And is rendered to break, to bruise, or to cover. Jacob's perception of Dan was far from positive. Dan is prophesied to be an opponent or an impediment and a negative force in the latter days. It's interesting that the first human being identified in the scripture with the serpent is the fifth son of Jacob, Dan. The serpent, very similar to snake, and the snake was on the tribal banner of Dan. When they had, all the tribes had their own banner, flag, Dan had snake on his flag. This symbol is most often associated with migration, and Dan migrated all over, and it's pretty easy to check the migration of Dan because he always left his name behind, either as complete Dan or DN. They migrated up through Europe, and they left their name on the Dniester, the Dnieper, the Danube rivers. They were all rivers that the tribe of Dan migrated up. No other individual human being are compared with the serpent in all of the scripture except Dan and his descendants. Moses spoke some about all of the children of Jacob, and he was very specific just prior to his death regarding the 12 tribes. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. We'll read down through the verse 21 or 22. Moses saying, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints from his right hand when a fiery law for them. Verse 3, yea, love the people, all the saints are in thy hand. Reminds you of Andy's sermonette about being a hardy Christian and God knows all things. And they sat down at his feet, and everyone shall receive of your words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Verse 6, he starts talking about the tribes. Let Reuben live. That fan just blew my page. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people, and let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, let your Thummim and Urim be with the Holy One, whom you did prove at Massah, and with whom you did strive in the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor know his own children, for they have observed your word and kept your covenant. Verse 10, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law, and they shall put incense before you and the whole burnt sacrifice upon the altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands, and smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Verse 12, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Verse 13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, and the precious things of heaven, for the dew and the deep that couches beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of them that dwell in the bush. Let the blessings come up upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of them that was separated from his brethren. It's quite a lengthy, really, blessing that Moses gives on the tribe of Joseph, which we know passed down to his children, Ephraim and Manasseh. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorn. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Verse 18, and of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tents. Verse 19, they shall call the people unto the mountain, where they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall succor the abundance of the sea and of the treasures hidden in the sand. And of Gad he said, blessed is he that enlarges Gad. He dwells as a lion and tears the arm with the crown of the head. He provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came from the heads of the people, and he executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. Verse 22, talking about Dan. And of Dan, he said, this is Moses speaking, and of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, and he shall leap from Bashan. One sentence. Goes on to talk about Naphtali and Asher. But well, I lost my place in the other. Moses was really specific in what he said. But nothing else was said about Dan except the one sentence. That he shall, Dan is a lion's whelp, and he shall leap from Bashan. Nothing very positive at all about Dan. Really, when you look at all the scriptures, it's a very negative picture of the tribe of Dan. Genesis chapter 49, I think we covered that, Genesis 49. We talked there about Judah, the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:9. And it talks about Judah being a lion's whelp. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you are gone up. He stooped down and he crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall raise him up? Verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people. And this is one of the early prophecies of Jesus Christ, being the lion of the tribe of Judah. The root word for whelp doesn't seem to apply as much to Judah. The root word is to turn aside, to gather for hostile purposes. The true Messiah is to come from Judah, and the true lion. The true lion, referenced in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. I'll turn over there and read that, Revelation 5 and verse 5. Revelation 5 and verse 5. And one of the elders says unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. So this is a heavenly scene where they're authorizing and recognizing that Jesus Christ overcame to open the seals. What about Dan? Dan is also called a lion's whelp. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll read verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So if you look in the overview, you see Satan, described as we know as the devil or the adversary. He was a snake in the Garden of Eden. He's compared with a snake all the way through. And here he's shown to be a lion. What about Dan? Dan is called a serpent in the scriptures and a lion's whelp. Moses' word about Christ being, or of Dan being a lion's whelp, give a hint to a dreadful future outcome for the tribe of Dan. Many early church leaders, as well as Jewish scholars, took seriously the idea that as the Messiah would be the lion of the tribe of Judah, so the false Messiah would be connected with the lion of Dan. I'm going to read some quotes from ancient writers that were pretty interesting. And here I'm going to struggle with names the same Dan, as Andy did. Hippolytus, he was one of the most prolific writers in the pre-Constantine era of the new church. He was an opponent of the Roman popes, and he makes the following deduction concerning the prophecies against Dan. Mark these words of Jacob, which were spoken to Judah, and are fulfilled in the Lord. To the same effect, moreover, does the patriarch express himself regarding the Antichrist. Whereas, as he prophesied with respect to Judah, so did he also with respect to Dan. For Judah was his fourth son, and Dan again And he writes a seventh son, but it seems pretty clear to me from reading it was his fifth son. What then did he say of him? Let Dan be a serpent, sitting by the way, that bites the horse's heel. And what serpent was there but the deceiver from the beginning, he who was named in Genesis, who deceived Eve, bruised Adam in the heel. And again, Moses said, Dan is a lion's whelp, and he shall leap from Bashan. That no one may fall into the mistake of thinking that this is spoken of our Savior, let him attend to this. Dan, says he, is a lion's whelp. And by thus naming the tribe of Dan as the one whence the accuser is destined to spring, he made the matter in hand quite clear. For as Christ is born of the tribe of Judah, so the Antichrist shall be born of the tribe of Dan. And as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was spoken in a prophecy as a lion on account of his royalty and glory, in the same manner also has this scripture prophetically described the accuser as a lion on account of his tyranny and violence. For in every respect, the deceiver seeks to make himself appear like the Son of God. Christ is a lion. The Antichrist is a lion. The Savior is manifest as a lamb, and he too will appear as a lamb while being a wolf within. The Savior was circumcised, and he in like manner will appear in circumcision. The Savior sent apostles into all nations, and he in like manner will send false apostles. Christ gathered together the dispersed sheep, and he, in like manner, will gather together the dispersed people of the Hebrews. Christ gave to them, those who believed on him, the honorable and life-giving cross. And he, in like manner, will give his own signs. Christ appeared in the form of a man. And he, speaking of the Antichrist, will be in like manner, will come forth in the form of a man. Christ arose from among the Hebrews, and he will spring forth from among the Jews, or the Hebrews. Christ displayed his flesh like a temple and raised it up on the third day, and he too will raise up again the temple stone in Jerusalem. And these deceits fabricated by him will become quite intelligible to those who listen to us attentively from what shall be set forth next in order. That was from Hippalaeus, a discourse on the end of the world and the Antichrist and on the second coming of Jesus Christ. This seems quite an extraordinary conclusion if you just take it all by itself. But Irenaeus, the bishop of Lyon, held basically the same view in his writing against heresies, he says. Moreover, another danger by no means trifling shall overtake those who falsely presume that they know the name of the Antichrist. For if these men assume one number, it says in parentheses, when this Antichrist shall come having another, they will easily be led astray, as if supposing him not to be the expected one, who must be guarded against. This too, the apostle affirms, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. And Jeremiah does not merely point out his sudden coming, but even indicates the tribe from which he shall come. When he says, and this Jeremiah, quoting from Jeremiah, we shall hear the voice of his swift horses from Dan, and the whole earth will be moved by the voice of the neighing of his galloping horses. He shall also come and devour the earth, and the fullness thereof, and the city also, and they that dwell therein. This, too, is the reason that this tribe is not reckoned in the apocalypse, along with those which are saved or sealed. Kind of a side note, the sealing in Revelation I don't feel, prohibits people from the tribe of Dan from being in the kingdom of God. Room for repentance. The prophecy is going to be fulfilled. The sealing is first fruits. I believe the 144,000 are the first fruits. Going to be a second resurrection. Going to be a lot of different things. And an individual calling, just because you happen to be of the tribe of Dan, if God opens your mind to the truth and you repent and grow and overcome, you'll be in the first resurrection. But speaking of as a tribe. Another quote I'd like to read is from Ephraim the Syrian. And he wrote approximately 373 A.D. Quote, at the end of the world of the final consummation, suddenly the gates of the north shall be opened. They will destroy the earth, and there will be none able to stand before them. After 1 week of sore affliction or tribulation, they will all be destroyed at the valley plain of Joppa. Then shall the son of perdition appear, and the seed of the seed and of the tribe of Dan. He will go unto Jerusalem and will sit upon a throne in the temple, saying, I am the Christ. And he will be borne aloft by legions of demons like a king and a lawgiver, naming himself God. That's from On the Last Times, the Antichrist and the End of the World by Ephraim the Syrian. The same sense was also shared by Saint Methodius of Olympus, who lived in 250 to 311 A.D., a short excerpt from his writings. When the son of perdition appears, he will be of the tribe of Dan, according to the prophecy of Jacob. The enemy of religion will also use a diabolical art to produce many false miracles, such as causing the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. Those possessed with demons will be exercised, he will deceive many, and if he could, as our Lord had said, even the faithful elect. Even the Antichrist will enter Jerusalem, where he will enthrone himself in the temple as God, even though he will be an ordinary man of the tribe of Dan, of which Judas Iscariot also belonged. Kind of an interesting piece of information we'll touch on a little bit later. As a final comment, I want to quote from the Jewish Encyclopedia, online edition, thejewishencyclopedia.com. Dan became the very type of evil doing. He was placed to the north, Numbers 2:25, this being the region of darkness and evil. Because of his idolatry, which wrapped the world in darkness, still further goes a tradition which identifies the serpent and the lion with Belial. See the literature in Bassett's Antichrist, written in 1895. And Irenaeus on adverse heresies. Other church fathers have a tradition, which cannot be but of Jewish origin, that the Antichrist comes from the tribe of Dan, Jewish Encyclopedia. So it's pretty plain from those particular quotes that a lot of the elders writers back in the early years after Christ believed that the Antichrist came from the tribe of Dan. They're pretty interesting in a lot of that. There's a similarity, if I got time, in the original children of Jacob, there were 12 tribes. In comparison with the disciples of Christ, there were 12 apostles. One of the tribes, Dan, became apostate. One of the 12 disciples became apostate. And that was Judas. Judas betrayed Christ. And as a serpent bites the heel, one who betrays his own people, Israel, probably, tribe of Dan. Another piece of information I found very interesting, the most likely etymology for Judas's surname, Iscariot, is, quote, man of Kairoth, K-A-R-I-O-T-H. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 15 and verse 60. Joshua 15, verse 60. I got two glued together. Joshua 15 and verse 60. And it's Kirjath Baal, K-A-R-J-A-T-H-B-A-L-L, which is Kirjath Jearim and Rabbah, two cities with their villages. And it's talking about, I didn't go back and check that. It's where the lot was given to the tribe of Judah and Daniel, and they were dividing the territory by lot. And Judah ended up with this particular piece of territory. Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11 and, no, Judges chapter 18, verse 11. Judges chapter 18, verse 11. And there went from thence of the family of Dan, of Danites, out of Zorah and out of Eshtaol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. And they went up and pitched in Kirjath Jearim in Judah. And wherefore they call that place Mahanadam unto this day. And behold, it is behind Kirjath Jearim. So there were two, basically, cities that had the same name. The one was in Judah, and Dan, it was right on the border of the land that Judah was allotted. Dan's city of the same name was right behind it. It says behind it in Judges. The same city that Dan went up to was a border city in Judah. By the first century AD, there were really two Kirjath Jearims, one in Judah, which was the more prominent, the bigger, the older city, and the other in the tribe of Dan's territory. The plural for Kirjath, K-I-R-A-T-H, is Kiroth, K-I-R-I-O-T-H. So Judas's name can be translated Judas of the two Kiros. The use of the plural, Kiros, would indicate that Judas was from the Danite Kiroth, Kirjath. If it was singular, it would emphasize the city that was the older, the senior city. By being plural, it's basically saying that Judas came from the Danite city of Kirjath. So you could say, when you're speaking of Judas, Judas the Danite, same thing, he came from that city. There are only two people in all of scriptures that are called the son of perdition, Judas is called the son of perdition. And John chapter 17 and verse 12. John chapter 17 and verse 12. John chapter 17, verse 12, Christ speaking, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name and thy name, that those that you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And Christ was talking about Judas being called the son of perdition. The Antichrist is called son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 I should have marked some of these things, didn't you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, that the day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Two places. One speaking about Judas, one speaking about the Antichrist. There's only two instances in all of the scripture of Satan personally possessing a human being. First one is Judas Iscariot in John 13 and verse 27. Won't necessarily turn to it. You can look that up. John 13, 27. Christ talks about Judas Iscariot. And the Antichrist also. He combined the two scriptures, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 and 9, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 and 9, and Revelation 16, 13. Talks about the spirit, evil spirit coming out of the mouth of the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 37. It's kind of an interesting tie-in. Not the tribe of Dan, but the book of Daniel. Turned right by it. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 37. Coming down to the end times. Back up in verse 11, "The king of the south shall be moved with choler and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north." That's the upcoming battle, looks like, between the European Union and the Muslim Brotherhood, ISIS or whatever is going on over there now. Probably won't end up being that, but it's the starting point. In verse 37, and it's talking about the king of the north when he comes down, the Antichrist. Verse 37, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. And in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things." In verse 37, the phrase "God of his fathers" is a Hebrew idiom, or Hebraic idiom. It's indicating someone most certainly whose ancestors knew the true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they knew of the fathers and was a descendant of the tribe of Israel, or Jacob. We've covered quite a lot of information that's very, very negative toward the tribe of Dan. But it certainly seems justified in the light of the scriptures, where Dan was demoted and listed last and called a serpent and all the way up through. But this has been basically a brief overview of the tribe of Dan in history and prophecy, indicating strong ties to Christ's betrayal and the betrayal of the world in the end time. Christ said to watch. This is one of the things I think we should watch. And in watching, see how God is going to work all this out. I want to close with a quote, part of Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, not every word, but summarizing. We look for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, but beheld trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembles at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land. For behold, I will send serpents among you, and they shall surely bite you.